What's better in life than a bottle of wine, great food, and an amazing conversation?
My name is Kate Sullivan, and I am the host of To Dine For.
I'm a journalist, a foodie, a traveler with an appetite for the stories of people who are hungry for more. Dreamers, visionaries, artists, those who hustle hard in the direction they love. I travel with them to their favorite restaurant to hear how they did it. This show is a toast to them and their American dream. Thank you to the sponsors of To Dine For the podcast, American National and Spiritless. To Dine For the podcast is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you. For 115 years, American National has remained committed to helping people and communities make a real difference in their lives. American National supports great local community organizations led by the kind of people you hear about on To Dine For, people who are inspired to make a difference and inspire others in return. American National's philosophy is helping where it's needed helps us all. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write, and the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine. If you listen to this podcast, you know I love a great founder story. That's why I love the story of Kentucky 74 from Spiritless. Three young women from Louisville, Kentucky, who had the idea for a healthier bourbon. Healthier in the sense it has no alcohol. So you can have an evening cocktail with no guilt and almost no calories. It is so delicious. I love to squeeze an orange slice, a couple of dashes of bitters, shake it with ice, and then strain it into a beautiful glass and just kick back. If you'd like to try a bottle of Spiritless, you can use promo code TODINEFOR to get free shipping. Welcome to Dine For the podcast, where we meet the world's most fascinating and innovative minds at their favorite restaurant. On today's episode is the founder of the Pueda Network, Adan Gonzalez.
Own your story. Own your narrative. There's a double-ended sword with an education. You're going to be exposed to information and the truth. Now, what you do with the truth at the end of the day is going to define who you are.
When Adan Gonzalez was a high school senior, he got a full ride to Georgetown University. When he arrived at the airport to go to school, his bags were overweight, and he could not pay the overweight fees on his luggage. So he had to put his belongings in trash bags. He arrived at Georgetown with trash bags in hand. He says it was that moment that inspired him to create the Pueda Network. Gonzalez, a first-generation college student himself, launched a luggage drive in 2012. His organization provides new luggage to students who are going to college and can't afford them. He has given away thousands of suitcases to students in Texas. And that's not all. In fact, it's just the beginning of his work. Let's hear more from Adan Gonzalez on his journey and what he's got cooking next.
Adan, thank you so much for being on To Dine For the podcast. It is wonderful to see you in this morning. Are you coming from Texas?
I am. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and it's, for me, it means the world for you to think of us. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So let me begin at the beginning. We start every podcast with the guests sharing their absolute favorite restaurant, wherever that is in the country. And I love to hear where people love to eat. So if you don't mind sharing maybe a place that's close to you, a neighborhood joint, or a place that you and your family love to eat.
So I replayed this question over and over when you emailed me and shared us how you started. My first immediate answer was like, oh, well, at home, we don't, you know, go out to eat much. But then I thought, okay, well, I need to have a restaurant. Like, which one's my favorite?
Yes.
I had to go all the way to DC, and it was Filomena's on Wisconsin. It's an Italian restaurant. That in itself, the food, it was like the reward while I was at, while I was finishing my undergrad. Their lobster ravioli or cheese ravioli is my favorite, all-time favorite.
Oh, that's amazing. And of course, your story, especially of what you've created, really starts in college. But before we get into the Pueda Network and what you have built and what you have created, which I can't wait to dive into, please tell the listeners a little bit about how you grew up, where you're from, and your family.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Dallas in South Oak Cliff, which is the inner city neighborhood. Both of my parents are immigrants from León, Guanajuato, Mexico. They are my pride and joy. My dad and my mom have been custodians all of my life. Actually, the most recently, this year, my mom is now officially a teacher assistant.
She
was able to pass her she got her GED over the summer.
Amazing.
And it's been, that's honestly been the reality of our family. There's four boys. So there's an older brother. He's a fire marshal. Then it's me. Then I have a younger brother who owns his landscaping business. And my youngest, who started college 2 days ago. So in short, we're a family that is very united, that has always had to sacrifice growing up. I think we were, well, my older brother was about 7, 8. I was about 6. My dad was shot in front of me and him in front of the apartment complex where we used to live.
Your dad was shot?
Shot and dragged about 3 blocks.
Wow.
So that being said, you were young. We started, there was a necessity to start working at the flea market, selling Cokes, movies, snacks to help our parents buy our school uniforms. And at that age, as a son of immigrants, you start learning English. So that means you start translating letters, mail, bills, conversations. The funnest part was ordering pizza. but besides that, I mean, it was just an ongoing, you become very essential to your family. So then fast forward, let's say to high school, where my parents are constantly working very hard and sacrificing to give us a better life. And that just meant, you know, graduating high school. Right? For that was the biggest accomplishment that we could accomplish in our neighborhood.
When you are 5 or 6 years old and you see your father shot in front of your apartment building and dragged, when you think about that moment, how did that affect you personally? Never mind being a traumatic event, but did you feel like you then had to step up and work harder? What did you have a sense of fear your entire life? Or what did you, what do you think that moment did to you?
I remember picking up his shoes. And I always say, you know, you pick up his shoes and then it felt like you pick up the bills. You grow up really fast.
Yeah.
You start understanding, you know, there's good and there's evil in this world.
Yes.
And while fear can push us backwards, for me, it pushed me forward.
And why do you think it pushed you forward? Because I think in that moment, so many people have something happen to them that pushes them backward. So what was it that allowed you to move forward in a positive way and to really bring, shine light and to work harder and to be a force of good?
It depends, Kate. I think the reality that this is the only way of survival. I try to do a lot of good in my life because there's been a lot of good done for us to make it through a lot of obstacles that I grew up with in general. But I just, it's complicated because anger pushes me too. Like there, I mean, so this is where you're going to start getting more real than in the sense of like, I'm always real, but I've tried my best to be away from speaking into, you see, you're making me struggle because part of self-care is removing myself from things that you can no longer control.
Right.
And when you grow up in a system where the immigrant is the bottom of the pool, where the immigrant's always being taken advantage of, and those are your parents, it's tough. And it makes you want to work hard because you want to give your parents a better life. When you see your parents miss a meal. So that's why the question about where is my favorite restaurant, we didn't grow up having that.
Right.
That was a luxury we couldn't have. And my dad always jokes, there's this famous restaurant and call La Calle 12, 12th Street. And my dad would always, and there was a lot of commercials growing up. And my dad would tell my mom, we're going to go eat. And one day we're like, we're excited. My dad's like, we're going to go eat at La Calle 12. And it was like, my mom's like, what are we going to get? Tacos, but we don't know what to order. Are we going to be able to? Point is, we all got in my dad's minivan. He drives. We're all excited. He pulls up at 12th Street, like literally 8th Street, and with some Jack-in-a-Box tacos. And we all started just laughing because it was like, you know, and I know that doesn't make part of the story, right? When you ask me what my favorite restaurants, and I, now that I'm educated, I understand the effects of this stuff. But to be honest with you, for me, it was Sunday morning. If my dad had money left over, he would take us to get breakfast at Jack-in-a-Box. And that was like, oh my God. Or on Fridays, if the Whoppers were $1, I mean, me and my brothers could share.
The reality of it, it's tough. Like,
and so that's just, so when you ask, like, why? Like, we don't have a choice, Kate. Like, you either, it sounds cliche, you work hard or you die trying.
Yes.
And that's just the reality of my neighborhoods, where if my dad got us involved in sports so early, because he knew everywhere around us, there are, you know, literally real gangs where they are your friends. You grew up with them. But if you have nothing productive to do, you have to find, or you don't have a loving, caring family, which I did. Mm-hmm. You stay busy. And unfortunately, there's a lack of activities, lack of opportunities. But it all goes back to just the reality of wanting something better. And when I say better, say happiness. And my dad did an absolutely amazing job of raising my brothers. My dad and my mom did an absolutely amazing job of raising my brothers, where we never complained what we didn't have, but we work hard towards what we wanted, if we wanted more.
We'll have more on this conversation in just a minute. But first, thank you to our sponsors. To Dine For, the podcast, is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you. There's a funny thing about most insurance commercials, whether they feature lizards or birds or funny cartoon characters. It seems like they want you to think about anything but insurance. American National, on the other hand, has real local agents who get to know you, so they can help you reach better decisions about your insurance to make sure you're protecting what matters most to you. American National agents are part of your community. They're your neighbors. So whether it's solutions for your home, your small business, your farm, or your life, you can count on your local American National agent to make sure you get the discounts you deserve and the protection you need without paying for extras you don't. With American National, you get an ally, not just a web page. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write in the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine. If you're like me, there are times when you want to feel like you're having a fancy cocktail, but you don't actually want the alcohol. So I love Kentucky 74 from Spiritless. It's a distilled, non-alcoholic spirit for your favorite bourbon cocktails, but with just 15 calories per serving and none of the guilt. You can pre-order your bottle today at spiritless.com. Use the promo code TODINEFOR to get free shipping. Now back to our conversation.
You worked hard and you had the intelligence and put in the effort to reach a different strata. I mean, I think that's fair to say. You have a degree from Georgetown, you have a degree from Harvard, you have a degree from Columbia, and you have the credentials and you have the smarts to do more for your community. And you have taken that and you are doing something extraordinary for your community. Si se puede, how did the Pueda Network start? And I know it began when you were a freshman in college. So take me from that moment.
So it officially started when I was a freshman in college, but before that, unofficially, in the same apartment complex when my dad was shot in front of my older brother, when my dad got better about 18 minutes later, you know, we wanted to play in a soccer team. And it's not cheap to play in the team. And it's so at that point, my dad started organizing the kids in the apartment complex, kids that were ranging from like 8 years old all the way to 12. Like, mm-hmm. We were nowhere supposed to be playing together. And that was how my dad kept us busy. Mm-hmm. Once, fast forward to my senior year, I applied to college at the curve of McDonald's, sitting past midnight every time after practice, just applying to scholarships, colleges that I couldn't pronounce their names, but just this idea that a higher education was going to grant us our freedom and a better life. I believed it. As expression, I drank the Kool-Aid of understanding, like, this is what's supposed to get us moving forward. I was able to win over $1 million in scholarships. Gates Millennium. And I mentioned those two because of merit and financial need. Yes, I was a brown Mexican-American, Latinx, Hispanic, Latino, whatever you want to label me as, poor kid from the inner city. But at the same time, I was competing merit-wise with the best of the country.
Yes.
And that combination ultimately led for me to go to conferences. And one of the conferences that I went that changed my life was a Coca-Cola conference. As Coca scholars, I understood, first thing that hit me was like, wait, I'm not special. Everyone around here is doing exactly the same stuff in their own capacities, in their own ways. So then it hit me. What were the things that we have in common that allowed us to be here? Number one, community service.
Mm-hmm.
Ability to serve others. Number two, we were all leaders in our community.
Mm-hmm.
We had academic success. And lastly, we had someone pushing us, an ambition support, someone, a mentor, or someone that encouraged us to apply, or a like that story of why.
Yes.
Once I was at Georgetown, I realized another story. Here's my third story. So I go, first story, my dad, I'm being shot. Second story, high school, applying to college. Third story, first day of college I sat in a government class. Professor asked, who's a Republican, Democrat, Independent, all in between. I had no idea. Like, keep in mind, I was in D.C.
at Georgetown.
I still didn't even realize what Georgetown meant. Like, it was just like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I need to go to D.C. because that's where people who are lawyers, you know, that wear suit and ties, that's where I need to go. That's how naive I was to reality, unexposed to higher education, the list goes on. But then so when the professor asked his questions, I stayed quiet. And I was in the very front. And that was really why I could pay attention. He said, Mr. Gonzalez, you don't want to participate. And I was like, I do. He's like, so where do you identify? And I was like, well, I represent the people. And people, and I saw my classmates. And this is where it's tough, right? Some people rolled their eyes. Some people smiled. And it was like, okay, why? I still don't understand. And through time in that class, I understood that people in general, especially at these schools of privilege and elite programs, by default, are going to be leaders in our country by just going to these schools.
Mm.
They're already steps ahead in privilege. Mm. And the thing is, once I realized that what people were studying in books was my story, my community, they were reading statistics and data, did not understand the DNA because
the reality.
And that's when it hit me. The moment I learned how to critically read, it changed the game because I understood there's good people that want to do a lot of good in our community, but don't know where or how. And then I knew the other reality, there's people who need the help, just don't know where to meet it, how to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where in my heart, I understood that I could be a bridge between these two communities because both are special, both have talent. Is just an opportunity to be able to code switch and be able to speak and educate and empower these communities to work together. And eventually at the Koch Scholars Conference, I recognized that and Georgetown, I recognized that. And then that's when I said, okay, well, we need to have these same opportunities to help me build my resume to have an opportunity of education, do that now. And that was the beginning of Weather Network.
You go by the Si Se Puede, which is yes, we can. And it is a rallying cry for Latinos. It has been historically. And it is a beautiful mission and concept. And for you, it starts with help. And you had a moment when you were a freshman at Georgetown and you arrived at the airport with your luggage. Can you explain that story?
Very excited. My dad gave me $100. And my mom gave me her rosary and they took off. And once it was time to check in my bags, they realized there was airport fees. And once you do that, you know, I had it a little bit bigger than a carry-on, but it was extremely heavy. They took off clothes, put them in trash bags, I could not afford the overweight bag fee. And that was just the beginning of the journey. I think it's crazy. It's been 10 years. Literally this year is 10 years. Now it's a blessing.
So you arrived at Georgetown with some of your belongings in trash bags, and it was that moment that galvanized you to make sure that doesn't happen to anyone from your community again. And so that was the beginning of the Puede Network, and you actually purchase and give away luggage to those students that are going into college, correct?
This year was our 9th annual luggage drive, where we've collected over 1,500 sets of luggage to students around the North Texas area who are going to college. It's this idea that I remember arriving on campus and closing my eyes, said, God, please help me so one day I can help others.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that understanding that if something has a luggage, it's a symbol that when someone is investing in you to carry your dreams, like that's just the idea of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's different when, especially like myself, right? You have a full ride to college. It doesn't mean you have bedding and pillows for your dorm.
Right.
And especially when you're already going from Dallas all the way to DC, you have no one there. And now with time, of course, I built an amazing safety net of people who helped me. Mm-hmm. And that kept, and any help, and that's what Puede Network is. Any help that I've received, I've tried my best to replicate it in a systematic way mm-hmm. where it has a ripple effect in everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because I could not be in front of you and say it. I did it because I worked hard. I've been able to make it because people who believed in me and people who supported my dreams and my responsibilities to support others. And that's, at the end of the day, what Puede Network is. It's a community that's supporting one another.
Where does the money come from the luggage? Do you get donations? How does it actually work from sort of a brass tacks perspective?
So the donations either come from sponsorships, from businesses, to an individual wanting to sponsor one set. And the beautiful part about this, Kate, is I have kids who have graduated from college now who have come back and donated a luggage themselves.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And again, awesome. That's one of our initiatives. That's the flagship initiative that I think that got us going. But now with the program itself and the identity of Puede Networks, our scholars program, a little bit I was sharing with you, the question that I asked myself, why am I here? Why are not other people from my neighborhood or have stories like mine? A lot of times every year, there are a few stories that are shared a lot of students like myself who are constantly overcoming a lot of obstacles. In my head, I'm trying to figure out how do you normalize it? How does it become something where it's not the one story every year that keeps hope going, which is great. Mm-hmm. But how do you break that cycle where it's more? That was the reason of Puede Network, where for a very long time, families and communities of privilege that come into my neighborhood, our neighborhood, to build their resumes, to do good, but to clean our streets, mm-hmm. wipe out the graffiti, mm-hmm. to feed us. And I'm not saying there's not a need, but why can't we do that ourselves? Mm. Why can't the same company who sponsored that community to come into our neighborhood, why can't they sponsor kids from our neighborhood to do the same thing? Mm. And that's the game changer of Puede Network.
That's a really fascinating concept. And is it specific to Dallas, Texas, or is it all of Texas, or is it specific to your neighborhood?
Puede Network specific to Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, our neighborhood, Oak Cliff, is known as the inner city. Mm-hmm. And it's very, for us, it's small, right? But mm-hmm. for geographically, it stretches about, I might be wrong and I'm going to get fact checked on this, but I think Oak Cliff in general is about one third of Dallas, if not more.
So what is the vision now? You know, here you are 10 years into this, 10 years since that first experience where you said to God, you know, help me to help others. And you have given away, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pieces of luggage and have helped your community with scholarships. Now, as you take a moment to pause, what is the vision moving forward?
Through empowering the families that we serve, we're serving over 5,000 families year long. And through different services, from providing produce, tutoring services, recreational sports, family counseling, the list goes on. And we used to do this in my backyard, my dad's backyard, in our kitchen, our living room. And today we have our small little center, and it's already too small. And so the dream of what's next is that one day I will love, and I'm working towards opening a school. And that's the next goal that we have in mind, just because a lot of times we find ourselves doing so many services that, you know, you would expect a school to do. And instead of falling into criticizing the system, I'm a believer that we have to provide solutions and answers ourselves. Mm. So that's in our short-term goal. Mm-hmm. It's providing, opening a school. Long-term vision is being irrelevant when we're no longer needed. That is honestly my utopia world, where like I can, you know, I just worry about one day when I have kids and a family. That's the goal, where people are so sustainable. They have an opportunity to live a better life through their own merit and hard work and talent, which is there. And I think that's the biggest advocate and talks about our communities. And myself, Kate, like I did have a rough upbringing, more than people, things that are rated R that I can't share, I shouldn't share with you in a podcast.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I've always had the same, the values that my parents engraved in us, or the experiences that one faces. We have to find a way to make them have a positive outcome in our lives, because it is what we have. That is the capital that we have in our being.
Adan, there are going to be people who listen to this, and a lot of young people listen to this podcast who are dreamers and creators themselves. And what would you say to a young Adan Gonzalez who's in high school, who wants to make an impact on their community, who wants to start small and really make a difference? What advice would you give?
I would first say keep going. And one grows the most when we're uncomfortable. And through all those lonely nights, very difficult moments, you just have to keep going, because you're going to fail a lot more than what you succeed. But the impact that one can have by trying to do what's right is something that I would never want a younger Adan Gonzalez to never let go of, because that's honestly why I'm here. It's been an incredibly difficult journey, Kate, to be where I'm at now. Involved a lot of sacrifice in different ways, you know, but at the end of the day, is it worth it? Absolutely, because I'm true to my identity. I'm true to myself. And that's another message to anyone young. Own your story. Own your narrative. There's a double-ended sword with an education. You're going to be exposed to information and the truth. Now, what you do with the truth at the end of the day is going to define who you are.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. And you know, the truth is, I ask people their favorite restaurant because I'm trying to get it at who they are. And I love the story of the restaurant in Washington, D.C., because it obviously gave you a wow experience. But at the end of the day, going to Jack in the Box with your dad was just, if not way more powerful and an amazing memory. And so for me, that's the best answer you could give, you know, is who you really are. And I feel like you're an amazing reflection of your community, your family. And I just really proud to know you, Adan.
Thank you so much, Kate. And those are choices one makes, right? Where one gets tired of fighting. And I don't say tired of like even physically or drain it, but it's just like being a... So I always been a proud American. Always have. I remember when growing up, my dad, you know, he was like, oh, we're from Mexico, but I was proudly singing the national anthem. And the experiences and the way I look, I'm a dark Mexican American kid. And just that reality, experiences have pushed me now to understand, you know, the other, or understand that we in this country, it's tough. And when I share that with you, is that through my answers, I think it's important to be real with those who are trying to create change in our community, whether you're Black, white, yellow, green, is that, you know, it is tough doing the right thing, because it means you sacrifice money, you sacrifice networks, you sacrifice so many things if you're trying to do what's right, because at the end of the day, again, we're trying to dismantle a system that wasn't created for everyone.
Right.
And one of the things I share is that my success has been based off my community's failure. So what am I going to do about it? I'm going to change that. And that's what we're trying to do. So thank you for sharing this platform to raise the voices of so many people in our neighborhood who, again, have the talent, just seeking that opportunity to be able to exercise it. And that's where it's our responsibility, Kate, as leaders in our communities.
I can feel the responsibility that you feel to make a difference. And I just salute you for rising to the challenge.
Thank you. And the other advice, though, I would give a younger Adan, now that you're making me think about it even more, you know, it's okay to trust people, too. Because, you know, when you grow up in the hood, and imagine you go from Oak Cliff, you go to DC, and I know there was maybe a lot of times or circumstances where I could have missed out on a great conversation just because I
didn't trust people.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really good advice that is specific to how you grew up And you're speaking to the people around you because there, I imagine there's an amazing amount of distrust. And there are people who are good and want to help, and a lot of people to be trusted and not trusted. But I can see that.
Naturally, one speaks of things that, you know, are hardships and obstacles. But man, my community, Kate, so amazing. Like, think about this. Like, you grew up in an apartment where everyone's dirt poor and in different capacities, right? Now, of course, we can't compare United States poverty to a third world country, but within our own area, where, like, my mom, let's say she has one tomato left and the neighbor asked for that tomato. Like, my mom would still hand that tomato over. You grew up in a neighborhood where everyone who lives in the apartment complex pitches in to get, like, a community pool. Yeah. Those that you buy at, like, Sam's that are, you have 80 kids that are only supposed to fit in 10. Like, those are the memories of playing canicas, volleyball, the resiliency. It's what we grow from and glow, and that's just what I stay with.
Yeah.
But whenever we're that fear, right? It's like, of course, you see that fear, but then you also see that smile. Like, and I always bring back the glow of my parents' eyes, where it's like my parents, when they're in fear, when they're struggling, I see that glow of pain. But when they're proud and they're happy, it's the same glow. And that's what, again, at the end of the day, continues to push me. And the authenticity and honesty that we have with our families that we serve through the network is an advice to any community leader out there, or any company, or any businessman, or any individual who's trying to have an impact in the community. Just show up, be yourself, be honest about what you're trying to do, and the community will guide you. A lot of times we come with this set idea and strategies and frameworks about how we can help. Like, just show up, and more than anything, walk with the community to find solutions. A lot of times you can ask kids in my neighborhood what they want to be when they grow up, and some will struggle to answer, but ask them what problems they want to fix. You have people talking.
I love it. I love it. Adan, thank you so much for this time today. It's so wonderful to reconnect, and I hope I get to see you soon in person.
You will, Kate. We'll invite you. You're always invited here.
Sounds great. Thank you, Adan.
Thanks for listening to Dine For the podcast. For more information on the show, the guests, and the podcast, head to todineforTV.com. You can find us on Instagram at todineforTV and Facebook at todinefor with Kate Sullivan. Thanks to the sponsors of To Dine For the podcast, American National and Spiritless. Special thank you to producer and sound editor John Golmer. To the loyal followers of this program, cheers, stay hungry, and stay inspired. I'll see you back at the table soon.